So let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Lord, would you bless our time today? Thank you for each opportunity we have to fellowship and to look at your word and to be encouraged by truth. And Lord, I do pray that your spirit will instruct us today. Lord, make me a channel of what you would have for us. I pray you'll bless in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're looking at the wonderful virtues that come from walking in the Spirit. I will do a quick review. Remember, we either are in the Spirit, letting Him control, or we're in control. And our flesh is, of course, prone to sin and to go its selfish direction. And the fruit of the Spirit is singular. It is not fruits of the Spirit. It is fruit of the Spirit. And it is some facet of every virtue should be evident whenever you're walking in the Spirit. And that's very encouraging, by the way, when you think of that. Now, we're going to see, even in the virtue we're going to look at today, that we do grow in these areas. They become part of who we are. We are developing in that. But at any moment, the newest Christian on can have the supernatural work of God to produce this in our lives. And so when they're not there, that means we just need to stop and surrender to the Lord. It's not that we have to go through a great process. We just need to understand that we are not where we ought to be spiritually at that moment. In fact, going through this book ought to be just a very good, it's a wonderful examination of ourselves as to how much do we actually walk in the Spirit? How much do we truly depend upon Him? Because folks, our problems do come from the flesh. They don't come from the Lord. And so the problems we have come as we think we might be walking biblically, but we are not really depending upon Him. Today we're going to be looking at the matter of goodness. This is another part of the fruit of the Spirit. Last week we looked at gentleness or kindness. And there's sort of a progression here. And this is a very important, just a very important subject. In fact, it's a very telling examination of ourselves as to where we are. She begins with the illustration of Polycarp and how when they came to arrest him, how good he was to those that arrested him. His testimony was very much of that of how Christ would have reacted, and it's a wonderful read there on that. It's a powerful example. So let's just do a little bit of review here. Of course, we started with love, joy, peace, love being the overarching reality of the opposite of self, giving of ourselves to others. And when we start into after long suffering, which is the protection against reacting wrongly to people, then we have the positive side, and you have the long suffering is that patience. It's the believing God even when things are negative, and letting God produce in us then kindness, which we looked at last week, and then goodness comes up behind that, and as she said in here, and it's just a wonderful evidence of the Lord. Goodness is the opposite of us. Now, we can be kind. You know, we're made in the image of God. Can unsaved people be kind? Yeah, they can be kind. In fact, aren't you often stirred by the benevolence? You see people rising to help people during a hurricane, tornado, some kind of a tragedy in a community. You see that image of God. But when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit and we talk about goodness, we're talking about ongoing, all the time goodness. Not just when we are emotionally stirred. You know, all of us can be kind, but did you know that when you're not in the Spirit or a person is not saved, goodness is still selfish? We enjoy the feeling of being kind to somebody. I mean, because it's a right principle, right? And we like to do good, but there is There's a reciprocal type of benefit from it. We feel good to be part of it. We like to be thanked and all of that kind of thing, even though we would like try not to do that. Goodness that we're talking about here is a miracle. It's at times you don't want to be kind. It's in situations that are not emotionally stirring to be kind and good. This is something that God has to do. So that's what we're talking about here. And so we're going to be looking how we're able to then, as Romans 12:21 says, to overcome evil with good. Okay. And so this is a real mark of Christianity. In the midst of opposition, in the midst of being unfairly treated, in the midst of frustrating circumstances, we are able by the grace of God to be like Jesus. In fact, we are going to be able to live the life of Jesus and do good to others as he would do it. And it's not because, again, of emotional reactions or whatever. It is a genuine decision of the will in which God is able to work. So let's just talk about this. I've already gotten into it. First of all, true goodness is spiritual in its origin. God is good. Don't we revel in that? You know, I love to just speak on that sometimes. God is good. Everything he does is good. What he does in our life is good. You can absolutely rest on that fact that he is good. He has never done anything evil to you. He has done right. And you don't have to feel like he's forgotten you. You don't have to feel like circumstances are not fair. God is always good. And when you get that theological perspective down, it changes your whole perspective on life, that God is good. Now, the opposite of God's goodness is man's badness. Okay. Our sinful, selfish perspective is who we are. Sin has made genuine goodness impossible without God. Okay? Genuine goodness is spiritual. It is of God. It can only occur in a Christian's life, and it can only occur in a spirit-filled believer's life. And so as Romans 3, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who does good, according to Romans chapter 3. And so, and as in Romans 7, I know that nothing good dwelleth in me. Now, this is not negative thinking, folks. This is a great protection. The minute you ride on your natural inclination, being made in the image of God, with an emotional desire for goodness and a sentimentality, you're going to find that that's going to come up short when you really need goodness. That's only going to be under certain circumstances. And don't fool yourself into thinking you're a naturally good person. I hate to tell you, from the fleshly standpoint, no one here is naturally good. But what happened to your spirit when you got saved? You were created in righteousness and true holiness. So you are spiritually good. And in your spirit, you can do good. In fact, you can consistently do good if you're not depending upon the flesh. Folks, depending on the flesh, living according to the flesh is a tragedy, tragedy, tragedy. There are so many things that occur because we are not willing to let God work in our life. So true goodness is spiritual. And if it's spiritual, then it's going to be active. It's going to be showing itself. You're going to be doing good to others. You're going to be moved to action. God in us and working in us is going to cause you to be an instrument of his goodness. It is just going to be part of your life. And that glorifies the Lord. So if you're not actively, if you don't see yourself really doing good very often, well, that's another one of those examinations that show we're coming up a little short here. And the next point I think is so important. It's goodness is a readiness to do good. In other words, not just being active, but you're looking for opportunities to do good, to be a blessing, to help others. It's a readiness. And you think about it. There are certain people you've known who on a regular basis have had the Spirit of God in them and they're ready to do good. I mean, in whatever circumstances they're in, you are comforted by the fact that there is a consistency in their life that they're endeavoring to do something for the Lord in your life. And thoughts of kindness, praying, caring, noticing, planning to act. It's not just good intentions. You can have awareness of wanting supernaturally to be good, but if that awareness is there, it's going to stop pretty quickly if you don't act upon what God tells you to do. And let me say again, your prayer time in the morning will set the stage for goodness, because God will inevitably quicken your heart. It's amazing to me the orders that God can give just early on. And then you're sensitive to that throughout the day and you realize there's a need somewhere. How many times I'm sure you've had that happen where you got a sense from the Lord to do something and you did it and the person said, I can't believe you did that right now. That's exactly what I needed. Well, that's God. You know, it's really great when it isn't you and isn't for because you're emotionally moved or you're wanting to do good so you can feel good, but you actually are just simply obeying the Lord and you do it because God wants you to do it, and then you see that really was God's timing. Then there's that sense of that miraculous intervention of God in your life. That famous statement from John Wesley was, I think, one of the keys to his life. His life was not easy. Do all the good you can by all the means you can and all the ways you can and all the places you can at all the times you can to all the people you can as long as ever you can. And that is the attitude it needs to be. We're here to show forth the goodness of God. It's not some little seasonal thing or here or there. Today, every person in this room, God has active steps of goodness toward others. I'm sure He has planned for us. And we need to be on duty. That's what gives your life meaning. And again, it's not to make you feel good. Oh, you do when you see God work, but it's you glorify Him. It's because you are an instrument in the hand of the Lord. Now, in Galatians 5, prior to the fruit of the Spirit, we looked at this in our introduction. You find in verse 16, this was preached on earlier this last week, walk in the Spirit. The word walk is the life of faith that a Christian should be involved in. You're either going, and you've heard it, you're either going forward or backward. And walk is a series of steps of faith. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. How'd you receive Christ Jesus the Lord? By faith, right? In the Word of God. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. And so there's all kinds of walks. The walk in the worthy walk in newness of life, walk in love, walk as children of the light, walk in Him, and so on. I mean, there's just many, walk circumspectly, you find there in Ephesians chapter 5. So today, there ought to be steps that you're taking to walk forward in your Christian life by faith according to the Word of God. And inevitably in that, if you're walking in the Spirit, will be a walk in goodness. In other words, steps, and when we don't allow ourselves to do good when God wants us to, then we've hindered our spiritual progress. And that's important. Now, the thing you need to realize is that it isn't just goodness to people you like. Now, we're to do good to them that do evil, those that persecute. That's what happened to Polycarp. He responded in goodness, which God used it powerfully as a testimony at that time. And so we are to remember that it's long suffering and then gentleness, kindness, and then goodness. In other words, in not reacting negatively to the inevitable mistreatment of others to you or just the irritation of others to you, but instead having that patience, that long suffering, and that kind response that only God can give, you will be prompted to do active steps of goodness toward those that you normally wouldn't want to. You would almost want to do something negative. And so, yes, we are to do good things to people that we just enjoy doing good things for. But the real test is, how do we do when it's not somebody we would naturally want to do it for? And that's the miracle of God's grace. In fact, it's a choice, and we need to plan. We need to plan. If we're in a little bit of a difficult situation, we need to plan to do kindness. We need to plan to do goodness, and that God's going to do something in us. We just need to count on it. God's going to want us to counteract that by showing His love. All right. Let's look at some miracles that can occur if God's grace through the Holy Spirit will work. Miracle number one, instead of an outburst of anger or hatred, love in the form of patience is lived out. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Miracle number two, our heart changes from the natural desire for revenge to the supernatural desire for the good of others. Goodness prays, what can I do to love this person for Christ's sake? That's a miracle. That's a miracle. And then miracle number three, goodness does everything. Goodness puts God's love into actions, follows through in our plans for kindness, and gives indeed, pours out God's love to others. Now, the thing we have to watch out for, what is good is that we can have long suffering and we can have a kind spirit, but often we do not take that miracle step three to actually have an active walk, an active goodness. That's what this part of the fruit of the Spirit is talking about, where we do good. It's not just the demeanor, it is the action. And a lot of times, James chapter 2 talks about, you tell somebody, be warmed and filled, I'm sorry you're going through so much, and you don't do anything for them. Well, that's not real Christianity. Real Christianity is moved and acts. And especially that is seen in situations that are frustrating. That's why long-suffering becomes before kindness and then goodness. And the only way that can happen, it's spiritual victory. It is the fruit of the Spirit. It is walking in the Spirit. I mean, that's the only way that can happen. So it's a choice that we have to make. By the way, all day long, you're making choices. You make choices of where to go, what to do, you know, just the typical things of life. You need to realize that a Christian walk that's having the Spirit of God's power is a series of faith choices. You need to be able to finish the day and say, you know, God prompted me to do that, and I did that, or that was biblical. In other words, I have been aware of God all throughout the day, and God has enabled me to make the right choices. If you just depend upon yourself, you're going to end up, even though it's not what you call ugly, selfish choices, you're going to end up making selfish choices. That's where we get in the bad habits. Remember the last series we had? That's where we get into self-indulgent habits, wrong perspectives, because our focus is on us, our focus is not on God, and it's not on others. And so there has to be that constant awareness of Him. Now, do people go through difficult things in life? Oh, yes. Yeah, right now, we could spend probably the next hour having prayer requests. Okay. And probably we wouldn't have the full exposure of what you're going through, because this isn't necessarily, you don't know everybody that well. But if we were in a group in which you had trusted friends, we would be talking about just issues that we need God's help in. And many times, those situations have faces on them, right? A boss, a spouse, a child, a fellow believer, extended family, on and on, a neighbor, can be all kinds of people. And so every one of those situations are going to be tests of whether or not we're going to be long-suffering, kind, and then active steps of goodness. That is going to be extremely important for us to realize that's what we're going to be facing. In fact, when you have the hard situations, we know trials are that way, but with people in particular, that's when you get to see God do something in you. That is the blessing. It's learning that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual powers. In other words, so often behind the attack on the job or the attack in family, area, whatever that you're facing, Satan's able to manipulate. It's amazing. And we personalize. And what happens when we pray for people who despitefully use us and we are willing to do good, our eyes are open to who they are and we have a love for them because we realize this is a spiritual battle and I'm not caving into this battle. I'm not going to let Satan win this battle. I'm going to turn around and do what God wants me to do. And so that leads to we need to recognize that goodness is an assignment from God. In other words, we are on duty to accomplish His love for other people. They are not going to see in person the goodness of God without Christians showing the goodness of God. And we have to just be led by the Spirit, and God will let us know what we need to do when. We don't need to be all that concerned. We just need to be walking with God. But when God does work in our lives, then we need to follow Him. We are His workmanship created unto good works. Remember, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then it goes right into we're His workmanship created unto good works. Good works doesn't save us. Once we're saved, good works follow by the miraculous grace of God. And so that's part of what God wants us to do. Now, honestly, there are times we don't feel like doing good to others, right? I mean, do you ever get irritated? Well, this is a perfect bunch here, okay. Well, I guess I don't fit into this bunch here. But we fume, we pout. That's a male problem. All these different things. And I'm telling you, the minute we do that, we just put ourselves in a bad spot. We put ourselves in a selfish hole, prison ourselves. We're unhappy. That's when everything looks dark. And the very people that cause us to do that, God loves and God wants us to be a blessing. It may just simply be praying for them and having the right attitude, but it may be and getting the right kind of kindness in our heart, but it may be action, not always, because sometimes that just wouldn't be appropriate at the time, but it may be, and we need to be willing, you know, to love your enemies, do good to those that hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those, and so that's very important. I think we're all aware of the famous illustration of Abraham Lincoln, and I do believe there's some controversy. I think Lincoln knew the Lord, but he did know how to show goodness, and very interesting. You know, Stanton was his political rival, and he constantly put down Lincoln. He called him a low, cunning clown. He nicknamed him the original gorilla. Sort of sounds like our political verbiage of our day. And he said that one was a fool to wander about Africa trying to capture a gorilla when he could have found one so easily at Springfield, Illinois. Lincoln said nothing. And then once he became president, he made Stanton his war minister because he was the best man for the job and treated him with every courtesy. In the little room to which the president's body was taken after he was shot, Stanton looked down on his silent face and he said through his tears, "There lies the greatest ruler of men the world has ever seen." How did that happen? Goodness. Goodness. And this is what screams forth the testimony of Jesus as much as anything. When we show love by being good to to those we would naturally want to do evil or react to. And so the Lord Jesus makes it very clear, there should never be a person that we refuse goodness to. And I'm telling you, there are times you've got to get with God to get over, because when you've been genuinely hurt, I deal with people that have been very much hurt by people in the past or abused by people, and it just grieves me when I'm with them, and it's very difficult. You can't be light when you talk to, in counsel. You can't just use platitudes, because it's very real when people have been mistreated. However, you do have to get to the point that they have got to have in their heart the love of God, or they are going to be the victim, doubly so, of what that person did to them. And that's a very difficult thing to counsel people. But that's the ultimate counsel that you have to give. And you have to be very careful even on what are acts of goodness. The point is the willingness to do whatever God wants and to get freedom from the wrong reactions. And those things are very deep and very real. But you know, God's the deliverer. And He can give you His heart and He can give you His mind. And I'm telling you, it's thrilling to me when I see people finally free to the shackles of the past when it comes to what they've been through. And so it's important, let me just quickly here, it's important for men, and here this is written to ladies, for women to learn goodness. And in Titus 2, you know, it says the older women are to teach the younger. And ladies, I tell you, mature in the Lord and show forth goodness and teach that to other ladies. That needs to be exemplified. Now, we've got some ladies that are more mature here than others in age. I'll just leave it that way. But don't be a grouchy old lady. Sorry, that's right. That's what you call just preaching with direct application, okay? But you know what I'm talking about. You know, either there's beauty in the senior years or there is ugliness. It's the unresolved things in the heart. But oh my, what a beautiful picture of Christ, and what a blessing to younger folks to see those that are mature in the Lord constantly showing good and caring and being consistent and can be confided in. And there's just that desire to be a blessing and help. That ought to be the goal of every lady and man. She's of course being pretty blunt here about for ladies. So we're to teach goodness, we're to be devoted to goodness, and we are to adorn ourselves with goodness. 1 Timothy chapter 2 speaks of that. That ought to be, you know, certainly we need to dress appropriately and dress nice, but you know, your best dress is goodness. That which will be the most attractive is goodness. A life of selfless devotion to others. And you got the example of Dorcas there in the New Testament, the Shunammite woman with Elisha. You have Rebecca showing kindness to Eliezer, the Abraham's servant, the older man there. You had Lydia, and because of her kindness, the first church was started there in Philippi. You had Martha not showing kindness, and so she covers that. And then, of course, number one example of all is the Lord Jesus, always His kindness. And was He mistreated, misunderstood? Listen, He's perfect. He had every right to be frustrated with the lack of understanding of the human race. And yet, perfect, perfect goodness, and He did the ultimate. Let me end with this. Oswald Chambers wrote, "Christian character is not expressed by good doing, but by God-likeness. It is not sufficient to do good, but to do the right thing. We must have our goodness stamped by the image and superscription of God. It is supernatural through and through." And so we need to see any thoughts that are not kind or good. We need to take the initiative in meeting the needs of others. We need to not worry about our own comfort, and it ought to be a joy to advance the happiness of others under the direction of God. Well, it's another one of those convicting thoughts, isn't it? Because it's the opposite of who we are. But it's the great proof of the maturing process of the Spirit of God when we see that happen.